I forgot to fucking record Alex's face for the first 5 minutes. Sorry. Episode starting now. Welcome to Every Album Ever with Mike and Alex. My name is Mike Wonsuer, and I'm joined, as always, this time over Skype once again by my trusty handy co-host, Alexander Volt. Say hello.
Hello.
This is Every Album Ever, the podcast where we listen to every single album in the world, one artist at a time. It's usually a whole new discography per episode, except for these EAE singles episodes, where we cover a brand spanking new album that just came out this year. And today, we'll be discussing
a album from a band called Prisoner, and the album is titled Putrid Obsolete.
I'm annoyed by the name of this album because there's a line in it that I use on YouTube to separate the title from the show name. But other than that,
yeah, exciting stuff in the world of heavy metal.
In the world of extreme metal. This was sent to us by Curran Reynolds at The Chain. So thank you so much for reaching out and being cool. And he contacted us through our history guy, Tom Osmond, who's also gets his little sneaky hands on albums for us. And he does a lot of stuff for us. Go follow Tom. Sent us this album. And we get a lot of emails now, very nicely. Thank you, everyone, for the emails, sending us promos and all that stuff. And this one I gave a click. I listened to, 2 minutes, and I was like, all right, I want to listen to the rest of this album. What does Alex think?
I think this is gonna grow on me. Even for me, this was a lot. This was a lot to take in. I'm like very fascinated by it though.
It is intense. It's pretty gnarly.
I am impressed by this band's ability to bring these different genres of metal together,
yeah,
to like create their own unique sound, and it never sounds gimmicky either.
No, there's a lot of there's a lot of flavors here, but because listen to, these are okay. It's like a split between really lengthy songs and really short songs. And I didn't even pay any mind to that when I gave it a once over, just a glance at the track listing. My first thought was, oh, these shorter songs are probably these creepy ambient transition tracks. I'm sure there's something. I wasn't expecting those short songs to be grindcore songs, basically.
Yeah, a new band. I went in blind. They threw a few influences or comparisons in the email, but even that couldn't prepare my ears for what they heard here on this album. It's interesting the use of industrial music on here without it sounding like an industrial band.
Definitely. I've found myself quite enjoying industrial as I get older. And the thing is, I wouldn't call myself an industrial fan. I mean, it's just whenever I hear elements of it implemented in extreme metal, it elevates it so much for me. So when I'm listening to this opening track, Flesh Dirge, and it comes in about as murdery as a song can possibly.
Oh, I appreciate trying to put some dirt and some filth on these industrial sounds too, instead of the familiar, I guess, Ministry is like a good jumping off point. Not that Ministry is clean, but right. The electronics can sound very clean. These sound very murderous samples and noises that they're using for the electronic stuff.
Noises and screams and these really buzzy, fuzzy guitars. Whenever you think of murder synths, you think of a certain type of fuzz. These heavy, just pounding industrial drums. But it takes about two and a half minutes to actually for the whole song to kick in and the drums to really come in fully. During those 2.5 minutes, it fucking pumps you up, dude. It does it masterfully. The way it builds for 2.5 fucking minutes, that's not short for one buildup.
Yeah, and then once those guitars and those vocals come in, it's heavy, punishing stuff. Around the 5:30, 5 mark, there is this like some of the most interesting guitar work I've heard in a metal band, like not your traditional wailing away guitar stuff, just really, really unique stuff there.
100% at 5:30. There's so many textures. They all feel like a grimy butcher shop in some way or another. But horror-y? Horror? That's not a, I mean, it's obviously not a word, but a very horror-y.
Yes. You know, and that is a theme within the album, as the band has said. The quick version is the horrific failure of humanity. So I definitely felt that throughout the album.
Jesus, real cheery, Jesus Christ. But before that, there's one little shift around 3.5 minutes in, super satisfying riff that rings out like more than I expect. I wasn't expecting, like, from the first 3 minutes, I'm expecting just punishing industrial, and then it has this nice ringing. It's well-rounded. It's a fucking punishing opener, and I absolutely love it. And then we move on. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought, you know, so this is going to be a heavy punishing band, and not like it's not, but I was surprised once Pool of Disgust comes on. That, like, cranks up the intensity, the speed. It's one of the, like, nastiest sound, and I'm going to call it a thrash song.
I wouldn't call it thrash. I would call it grindcore.
But yeah,
it's also like slower. So this is where the album immediately throws me off, because I'm very confused at this point. It's a cool song, but I was not expecting that drum beat. It's kind of a thrash beat. It's very, it's not like a straight 1-2, but what they do start doing straight 1-2 beats for a lot of these songs, and when they go fast, I have problems, and it's specifically the way the drums sound. A lot of it, I think, is the production of it. It's a really booming, powerful sound, which I don't know why, but it feels like it's not meshing with the fast riffs. And then also part of it is the technique. I don't want to shit on like the drummer. He's a very good drummer, but there's a lot of moments where the fills just feel really too simple and out of rhythm. And maybe he's not like off rhythm completely, but it's something about the drums is not meshing with the faster sections. And it just didn't sit with me for like the whole album. All the fast sections, I'm not that into the fast sections. And you know me, you know how much I love my fast stuff.
Oh, if there's a 15 second song somewhere, Mike will give that best album.
I certainly will. And also, a weird thing, the blasting sounds great.
Yeah.
I don't, it's just the in-betweens. It's just when it's a straight fast 1-2 beat that sounds iffy to me. The blasting sounds great, and the doomy, sludgy or slow stuff sounds great.
Well, I didn't notice any of that stuff. So.
Oh, all right. So it's just, who's the asshole? Fine.
I mean, it kind of always.
All right. Not always.
No, we did not a always.
Episode. Don't you forget that episode.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Let's move on to the Horde. Oh, man. Just an onslaught of like guitar noises and layers. It's crazy. It's like when I was a young man, you know, I thought Slayer was pretty fucking heavy, and a band like Prisoner comes along and they're like, We can make this heavier.
Well, it's been a while, man. I mean, we're starting to forget that. Like, that was fucking 40 years ago.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Holy shit, dude. Thrash is 40 years old, over 40 years old.
Yeah.
So the Horde absolutely fucking rules. It's complete chaos. More of the grindcore style stuff. Another short song. Both Pool of Disgust and the Horde are under 2 minutes. And double kick sections especially really fucking rule, especially in the outro. They have like these really creepy radio sample, like radio voices samples thrown in there. It kind of reminds me of some Silent Hill shit, but I think it works. I think it's pretty great. And then now we're on to another, it kind of dances between these shorter, grindy songs and then these big, giant, brutal, industrial death, doom stuff.
I found myself a little more drawn to like the middle slash end of the album, where I was like, there is an interesting marriage of these different forms of extreme music going on here.
Another highlight song is track 4. That's Shroud.
I thought that was gonna, you know, like the way a Neurosis like builds out their songs.
Oh yeah,
because it has that like evil riff, like, okay, we're gonna build onto this, and then at some point very quickly they're like, no, we're going 0 to 60.
Yeah,
and it's so crazy. Yeah, there's like elements of black metal. This like very masterfully done.
It's Andrew, the intro, it's a clean guitar, but it's like a really, it sounds like the guitar is sick and dying. It's a really cool effect, and it is so brief, man. It is, mm-hmm. I'm like you, I was like, all right, we're toning it way down, we're gonna build it. Fuck no, dude, it goes immediately. And it's like, I don't love it when, like I said, I don't love it when it goes fast, but it still feels pretty good. And then even though like I'm talking all this shit about the fast parts, I mean, the riffs are so fucking strong though. Like, and the busyness of the mix really taps into something really cool. And I don't know. Strong riffs are strong riffs, but there's something extra brutal about these songs.
Yeah. Which leads us into their single off the album.
Oh, I'm not even done with Shroud, baby.
Oh, sorry. I guess not.
We can move on. We can move on. It just, okay. It does rule though. I mean, I just like it a lot.
No, it like, to me, like kind of like getting ahead a little bit, Shroud, Laden Tomb, Pathogenesis, and Entity are just like, that's the stuff that like blew my mind the most.
Oh, Laden Tomb is the single. It's another short one, but it's a little bit, it's less straightforward of like a, you know, death thrashy grindcore type thing.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't want to get this man's name wrong. Pete Rosas. I apologize if I'm saying his name wrong. He specifically talks about that.
Roja, I think.
Roja. Yeah. Inspired by the collapse of the environment caused by uncontrolled capitalism and short-term desires of the ruling class poisoning the earth. So,
take it easy, buddy.
continuing on the cheerful nature of this band.
Jesus Christ! I mean, I get it. You fucking.
I wouldn't
expect it to be like the most like. I don't want to say cheerful. Obviously, it's not going to be cheerful. It's just fucking brutal music. But
yeah,
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
Not at all. But yeah, that song, there's like these like industrial like percussion things to open it up. And then it's almost like death metal.
Yeah.
And then it goes like there's doom and sludge.
Yep.
Like, and they really pepper in like, with like blast beats in between the
intermittent blasting for sure.
It's so interesting, and it kind of feels obvious, and like, why haven't I heard this from other bands?
It's like that. I mean, I could, even though it's not one of my favorite songs here, I think it's a great song, but I don't love it the way I love some of the others. I get why it would be their single, because it literally is just a stew of all the things that they try here. And it's short, so it's like,
yes,
it's really like a sample platter for sure.
I will say another thing about the album is like three of their members sing, so that totally
would
helps
never
with
have guessed.
I was kind of able to catch shit. I feel like that helps with like the variety and getting these like different tastes going on.
That's just more of a thing about me on how I listen to extreme metal in general, where I appreciate the vocals. I don't love growls or whatever, I don't love growls. I don't love pig squeals. I don't love shrieks. I kind of love shrieks depending on who does it. But
yeah,
It's always just like a texture. It's never the focal point for me. It's always the riffs. Riffs always come first for me. So it makes sense that I would miss it, but I'm glad it's there. Any kind of diversity with vocals, even if it's something as ironically straightforward as death metal usually is, it's mm-hmm. it's not a straightforward genre or style, but they tend to do one thing with most death metal bands.
Yeah, and these are not like death metal or like the traditional like Cookie Monster vocals.
There's moments it's harsher than that, but a layperson wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
No, but you know, I don't think we're a podcast for people.
We are not lay people. No, we are not.
I'll be a lay person once I go to Hawaii.
Oh yeah, you got yourself a little whole Hawaii trip planned, don't you?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lucky boy over here.
Depending on how much debt. That's a different subject. But
we deal with debt after fun. That's what we do.
It's kind of the only way for someone like me to live. So yeah.
Don't put shackles on yourself, man. Don't put ceilings for yourself.
I like that. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. But now we're back to more depression with Pathogenesis, one of the big fat songs on here. I mean, so this is one. I have one gripe. It's not with that song. It is with the sheer exhaustion that comes with the final three tracks in a row.
It's exhausting.
Lot. It's a lot. It's a 7-minute song, a 10-minute song, and then a 6-minute song. The last track is technically 7 minutes, but the final minute is silence. Yeah. I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know what the deal is, but Pathogenesis. One thing that I noted for that song, but I could say it about most songs, extremely atmospheric intro, and the samples that they use. I mean, it's really fucking well done sampling.
I love the like clangy, like any clanging samples. It's like, you know, it's perfect for this band. Yeah, there's these like sinister guitar riffs that I thought maybe they were synths at first, but they were guitar riffs. So I always appreciate like having to keep my ears on their toes, if that makes any sense.
Indeed. So this, we're kind of like, we're saying that the synths and the samples are cool, but like they have, not only do two of the members, Pete Roja, I believe it's Roja. I mean, I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. It's what my brain is telling me. And Joel Hansen, the drummer, they both do samples and synths. They also have a dedicated synth and sample and programming guy. That's Adam Lake.
Yes, who is their latest member to the band. They felt like they could get more out of it if they had like a dedicated guy doing it live. So really helps them have a more robust sound live.
But it also means it's not just a in the studio record gimmick, which we're getting a lot of these days. What with everyone learning how to record by themselves, present company included, you start fucking with stuff. You start throwing samples. You start doing all the stuff that you can't recreate live unless you have a dedicated sample guy. So even though it does sound amazing on the album, it just kind of adds an extra layer of that's part of the song. It's not just a thing to make the album flow a certain way or seem more atmospheric. It's a song.
This is this band's sound.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I have a ton of notes, but it's still hard to describe this music. Pathogenesis could be described, I mean, it's a lot like the rest, but you know, with the fast and kind of choppy, speedier sections, and then the super doomy, punishing. I mean, that song gets really doomy.
Yeah. If there's like a home base for that song, I would say it's mostly rooted in doom metal, which is probably why it struck more of a chord with me.
100%. There's a section around 320 that absolutely fucking rules. Murder Industrial. I mean, it's such a crazy killer section. And then toward the end, it has this one section. They do it again on, I'm forgetting if it's Entity, the next track. But either way, they do this thing where they'll have this really slow chugging riff over these kind of rotating drums, where the drums will be doing this crazy fast thing and then the sort of mid-paced thing and then a slow thing, and it'll keep doing that, like it'll keep cycling through that while the guitar is hanging on the super slow chugging thing. So it almost feels like the drums are circling the guitar riff. It's a very interesting effect.
Yeah, the like I think Entity is like the strongest, like best overall track on the album.
It's my least favorite by far. It's the only song I don't like.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. Like, oh man, like I kind of wish the album ended there because I was so impressed by that song. Like,
dude, tell me why.
I like it's kind of like these gnarly black metal sounds. The synths sound a little more symphonic. You have like noise guitar riffs with like heavy metal sludge riffs. And kind of going back to what you were saying about the drummer, Joel Hansen, like it's this chaos, and his drumming is chaos too. But I feel like he's just holding it all together. And then I love the break into this more like sinister nightmare sounding riffs. And then it's just right back to the blasting and screaming.
Yep.
And then like towards the end, like the synths just like really elevate the song for me, where sure you could do it without the synths, but I just think they like make the song. So like for me, I was just like really impressed. I felt like the band was like at the peak of their powers with this song.
Interesting. Because there's plenty of things that I like in it. There's mm-hmm. around 2 minutes in, there's this really chunky section with the occasional, I don't want to call it a Gojira scrape because it's not a scrape. It's mm-hmm. like they're open notes, but it has like it almost registers as a similar effect. And this is one part that pissed me off. Maybe the moment that pissed me off most out of the whole album, around 320, it goes into this super dark, almost emotional riff. And it's so fucking good and so nice. And it fucking leaves immediately. It's gone immediately. And it's just the thing that you call riff salad, I call death metal syndrome. It's like, if you like a riff, too bad, because it's gone immediately. Yeah. And yeah. That made me sad. And then the break that you were talking about, which is around 4:10, where it goes into this complete ambience, creepy, clean guitar with these spooky, hushed vocals. I felt that to be a little much. I was a little like, all right, buddy, I get it. You're evil and dark. All right, come on.
I think for me also, it's just like so different from anything else we've heard on the record at this point.
Completely, which is why, so it's not even, as much as I was like, all right, it's not overdone. It's the only time in the whole mm-hmm. album they do that. And then the way that builds back up from that, I think is very, very well done. The way it goes back into the blasting faster sections. The song is 10 minutes. So yes. It is, or not.
About nine. Yeah, about nine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, is it? I'm already forgetting. I could have sworn it was like just under 10, but either way, we'll call it 9.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. 9:12.
Okay, yeah, so that's way less. Never mind. I was just fabricating because of my exhaustion.
It's a long song.
It is. So my main point is, it's not even that I dislike the song on its own. It is the placement. It is what makes the gauntlet. Because if it wasn't for that, it would be ending with 2 7-minute songs, and that's already a lot. But throwing in it creates it as a gauntlet. It creates the gauntlet of it. So if this was anywhere else in the album, I would probably be way more lenient. It's just I couldn't think of a better place to put it though. Like it's just so much. It's so much song. I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, I was like on my listens of this album, like I was like properly exhausted most times after Entity, as much as I love it. So I feel kind of bad for like Nano Death, because, you know, it's consistent. It's in line with the rest of the album, but I'm like, it feels excessive. It's like getting there's a heavy metal burger place here in LA called Grill Mall. It's
not
like,
anymore. It's in Long Beach now.
Whatever. Fucking Long bullshit. Long Beach.
I'm angry because I'm never going there ever again now. It's too far.
We have We haven't talked about this.
I know.
I did one last hurrah when they
I didn't learn about it until the day it was the last day and it was already like closed. That's when I learned about it moving.
I should have taken Thin Lizzy's advice and, you know, spread the word around. But so heavy metal burgers, ridiculous burgers. Here at Grill Mall, instead of normal buns, on a burger called
Jump in the Fryer,
or, you know, if you want to spice up anything else, you can get waffles instead of
buns.
And yeah, Nano Death, not as sweet as waffles, but is the waffle the waffle bun on the album for me.
So two notes. One, that waffle burger is the only time in my life I've never been able to finish a burger.
I split it with someone, and yeah. I was horrified eating it.
I'm a fat fuck. I will eat everything in front of me. And
yeah.
That was the only time. I mean, I don't mean at Grilla Mall. I mean in life.
Yeah.
And then note two, Nano Death is my favorite song on the album. I think it's an incredible closer. I think it's an amazing song.
Well, you know, I had to get you back for Entity.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't have any problems with the Jump in the Fryer or Nano Death. I'm just, it's a lot.
I think if the album didn't have Entity and just went straight to it and was a 30-minute fucking this, I would be in love. Yeah. And I still like it quite a bit. Well, not to say I don't love it. And Entity is a fine song. It's just it just beats me into the ground. I think Nano Death opens up with one of the strongest riffs on the album. And these big 4/4 drums come in, and it's so satisfying and crunchy. Around 3:15. I don't know how they're mixing it, but it suddenly feels like the guitars are in a dungeon or something. It's a really cool effect. But like just the riffs beginning to end are just my favorite on the whole album. Really pretty stuff. And I do mean pretty in a very dark and extreme metal kind of way, but I mean the closest thing to melodic on the whole album, I'd say.
Yeah. That is because there are like hints of melodic, but you don't really, not like full blown. Because she brought up mixing, we should say, recorded and mixed by Ricky Olson, who has worked with a band called Enforced.
Ooh, okay. It's very good mixing. And there's even, it's not even just the mixing of that song. Around 5:30, it's brief. Again, like a lot of things here are just really brief, but the guitars go clean during one of the fast sections. And I find it somehow way more threatening than when they're distorted.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like it's kind of like the extreme metal version of like quiet loud.
Yeah, it's still not quiet, but there's something,
it's still punishing but in a different way.
There's something about clean guitars doing something brutal that feels extra brutal somehow. So I don't know, it's like forcing them to do something they weren't meant to do. I like it.
Yeah.
And then it has a really interesting outro. I mean, it's another atmospheric kind of thing, but it with faint hints of beauty in there, and it's just really well done. Oh, and yeah, I think this album opens and closes fucking amazingly.
Yeah, I like the way these dudes' brains work. I'm gonna stew on this album. I think listeners of this podcast would appreciate it.
I'd hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're a fan of extreme music, it's like it's worth giving a once over just to be like, oh, wow, yeah, like they made this thing work that seems obvious but isn't really done too much.
Yeah, and the sample work, it's really interesting. It really does set it apart. I mean, because we listen to a lot of extreme music and we like a lot of brutal shit, but it doesn't hurt to have just an extra little taste of horror thrown into your extreme music. No, I just like it.
Yeah, it also makes me think like in the band's future, like they have so many different avenues they could go down if they want. And yeah, very like interesting to see what they'll do in the future, because there's a bit of a gap between their last release and this one. So
yeah, it's like it's 2017, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's considered their debut album called Beyond the Infinite.
Right.
And then
right.
They have another release called Fear is the Mind Killer, oh, look at that. We timed this perfectly for Dune month.
Dune month. Oh.
Oh, part Dune comes out.
Part Dune. Also, I didn't even mention this. I'm gonna have to put a fucking thing on the video again saying this album comes out this Friday, March 15th. I suck at this, dude. I suck at this. Oh my god. But yeah, the new Dune. Hell yeah. I'm actually excited for that. Even though I'm not big on like new big blockbusters. I've never been, to my recollection.
I have my tickets purchased. I'm angry at WB for lots of things, but specifically for taking away my winter of Timothy Chalamet. I wanted a 1-2 punch of Wonka and Dune.
Oh,
they took that away from me.
They sure did. What another thing that I'm just seeing now on their Bandcamp, which is hilarious, that none of us once thought this or said this. They list themselves as industrial metal punk. I didn't think punk fucking once, dude. Punk is my shit. I mean, that is my number one shit.
Yeah, I didn't think about punk when listening to it, but they did cite some punk influences, or like even like a Napalm Death.
Well, that's definitely grindcore. I mean, they pioneered
grindcore. No, for sure, but like, yeah, so I can see where they, you know, how they listen to like punk and hardcore music. That makes sense to me. That checks
out.
I
totally get the influence, but to actually call this punk, I think would be a little a bit of a stretch, because
for sure
it is so brutal. I know a lot of people into punk that would hate this. I love it, but that's different because I'm mentally ill. And I honestly don't even think grindcore would be like that accurate of a term. It's just the first thing I think of when I think of punk sensibilities with extreme metal. But either way, it's a fun album if you're into something extremely intense and agonizing and brutal. It's very fun. You should check it out and go support the guys, because they're doing it. They're doing it.
Yeah, if you're in like North Carolina, Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, they're doing a little tour. So
hell yeah.
So if you want to check them out live, go and support those dudes.
Hell yeah. I can only imagine how much of a whack in the face of a sledgehammer they must be to see them live.
Yeah, I would be very interested to see them live.
Yeah, bring earplugs, I guess. Although
I always bring earplugs.
I bring them and then I take them off when the band plays.
you love the like waves of sound.
You can feel it in your whole resonating in your whole. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I took out my fucking earplugs when seeing Liturgy. That's stupid.
That's some psycho shit. Yeah. That was fucking loud. That is a loud ass concert.
It was very loud.
I did see Kristen Hader, and because it was just her and a piano. I did not need earplugs, so that was nice.
How was that show? I was not in town.
Amazing. Like,
of course it was.
Like life-changing.
Lie to me, dude. What the fuck?
Like, because I've seen her do the linguist stuff once, and that was also life-changing. But yes, there was something about doing this saved material at like Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Like, because sometimes bands play outside. This was like inside. It was such a perfect venue for her. I saw like pictures of her playing in other venues after. I was like, I'm so glad. Like, I got to see this like Hollywood Forever one. Man, it's so crazy because like we know she's classically trained vocalist, yeah, but I think in like the linguist stuff, it's a lot of noise, a lot of yelling. Yeah. She does have like beautiful parts, but here, like, there's nothing to hide behind.
It's just her, just her and a piano.
There's nothing to hide behind. And like, oh man, when she hit those operatic vocals, I was just like, I just wanted to stand up and clap for every song, really.
You should have interrupted the whole show.
I should have just screamed. This is amazing.
Shit. I am thoroughly bummed that I missed that. I mean, god damn it. I've already missed two pretty big shows this year Damn.
I mean, you got a good amount coming up. You know, that's just kind of the name of the game.
There's win some, you lose some, you live to fight another day.
Yep. That's the way to do it.
Oh, hell yeah. And it's also a thing about she's playing piano now, which I know she was doing it a little bit with Lingua. She would kind of go back and forth.
She had like a keyboard, though.
For when we saw her for Caligula, it was a keyboard. I think she had a piano for Sinner Get Ready. But I talked to our guy, Tom Osmond, about this, and he was saying, like, it's a great show, but it's like having a backing track is not the same as having a live. It's like, no matter how good you are, there's still like a slight sense of, like, I don't want to say karaoke because it's demeaning how amazing she is, but it kind of like, there's something about just, even if it's just one instrument, something played live makes a fucking difference.
It does. It really does.
God damn.
Yeah. Yeah. She puts like these like jangly things over like, the piano, like inside the piano, so you get like the sound from Saved.
Mm-hmm.
I was so glad the woman next to me was like sobbing, because that's like how I feel, but I can't actually cry for that. So,
and it gave you the illusion that I was there, because I would have been sobbing.
I was like Mike isn't here, who's gonna cry? And this woman's
this girl stepped in.
She stepped up. She didn't know. And it would have been weird if I was like, thank you for crying, so I just didn't say anything.
Oh, well, I'm glad you had a good time, and I'm also furiously jealous, but that's the way it goes. So thank you so much for listening and watching and hanging out. Go check out the album when it comes out, or if you're watching this later, go check it out right now. March 15th, Putrid Obsolete by Prisoner. And thanks again to Curran Reynolds for sending this to us. And thank you, our boy Tom Osmond, for hooking everything up and putting the people in touch and getting his hands on it. Go follow Tom Osmond, all right? He does a bunch of good stuff. He does a bunch of research for us. You can follow him at Tom Osmond Sounds. Huh?
At time of recording, he fucking interviewed Wino. That's insane to me.
He interviewed Wino.
Like, Wino's probably just like easily accessible, but like in my head the man is a fucking legend. I think it was for New Noise, Scott Wino on Gilded Sorrow and 40 Years of the Obsessed.
Oh yeah, so yeah, you interviewed him for New Noise.
Yeah, it wasn't a podcast, it's like a written interview that I will be reading.
Yeah, it was a feature. Because I remember when he told me about that and how fucking psyched I was about that. I can't believe I forgot that even happened. This dude, homo gets around. So go check out all his stuff. Tom Osmond Sounds on all social media, as well as TomOsmondSounds.com for all his music and his Substack, TomOsmond.substack.com. Whatever Tom Osmond's, whatever comes next, that's his podcast. And he has all writings about music there. It's very cool stuff. You can also follow me on Instagram at PanderMonkey, and Alex on Instagram at
EveryAlbumAlex.
Hell yes. Last but not least, do not forget, for love of God, Patreon, patreon.com/everyalbumever. That's where you go get bonus episodes, you get to see our schedules in advance, you get to vote on polls to decide who we cover next, you get to join our Discord, be a part of our community, as well as suggest these EA singles for us. If an album came out this year and you want to hear us talk about it, go there and pitch it. And if you're tier 2, if you're bigger than Jesus, then you can suggest a full discography for us to cover in our bigger, longer numbered episodes, as well as any album from any discography for us to cover on Patreon bonus episodes. So there's lots of meat and juice and stuff there. So go do that. Hell yes. Well, seeing as this album is not out at the moment, we might as well close it with the single.
We got one song and one song only.
Hell yes. So this is Lead and Tomb. Thank you so much for listening and watching. See ya.